Well,
is there another one?
I can't tell you who we're going to have tonight because that would ruin the surprise. So, I guess, see that? Look how I have to move furniture and, oh,
look at
oh, oh,
this, how young you are.
How young I am. Yes, that's right. I can do the furniture easier than I can figure these things out. They are much too complicated for me. But tonight, guess what? One of my favorite people in all the world. And what we found out, Anna, the mother of Mary, works with me. And that's how I get my class lessons. And do you know what we found out last night? Thank you, little Stephanie, right here in the front row, that Anna wants to work with Sylvia. And it's Sylvia that's going to be sharing her thoughts with us tonight, her however she sees her spiritual journey. So I'm really happy about this, that she's getting brave enough to come up here and share. I've got to tell you, kids, the first time that you say a prayer, public prayer, it's precious to you, so precious that it's not easy to do. Does anybody want to agree with me? Oh, good, a few heads sure. But, and then when you get up and you're going to share your thoughts, it's not easy. And I'm so glad that she let me talk her into sharing her thoughts tonight, or Sylvia. Goodness, oh, where to begin? You know, Millie asked me to do this about a year ago, and I'm like, oh God, I wouldn't have anything to say, you know. And I was just nervous about it and thinking, how can I get in front of a group of people? I've never stood in front of more than just my immediate family and said more than two words. So I was really nervous and apprehensive. And then last week, or week, a couple weeks ago, she says, I think you're ready to speak. And I said, you know, I am. So here I am, and I'm going to try not to be nervous and try to get a small message across. And, you know, I told my kids I was going to speak tonight, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say, you know. And so the three heads of us, I mean, I've been working on this, and tonight on the bed in my bedroom, we're sitting there with my computer, and they helped me edit a few things. So it was just kind of nice, you know, bringing my girls into this, too. They were both busy tonight. So, but it was so nice to just reaffirm with them how important this church is to me, and to be able to share with them what this means. And I hope you guys, you know, get as much out of it as they seem to when I was sharing it with them. Sometimes I feel like I don't have the right words to say, but people tell me, so you never have a loss for words. So I've been told I have the gift of gab sometimes, so we'll see if it, you know, carries through here tonight. But you see, like so many of us, I did not believe in myself for a long, long time. I was put down for a lot of things, and I just lost faith in myself and God and my family and in my friends. And I, for so long, I just felt like I was all alone in the world, and because my vision had been so limited and stopped. You know, whenever I thought I saw something good in my future, it was stopped. And I never thought to ask God for help. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and you know, it was a spiritual upbringing, but there were so many constrictions and so many rules, and I'm not a rule-binding person. I like to think for myself, and when you live under such constraints, you tend to fight back more than you really should all the time. And I often think that the only possible outcomes are those that I can imagine. And fortunately, God is not restricted by the same logic. He's a lot more open than I am. And some of the most wonderful events in our lives grow out of what appears to be disasters. Over 30 years ago, I married a man that I thought was going to be the greatest adventure of my life. And ultimately, it ended not in, you know, the greatest adventure of my life, but out of that, I was gifted by having such wonderful children, and not only the two children that I had through him, but he gave me three stepchildren, and I've become so close with these kids. They're my children, and I've got 12 wonderful grandchildren now because of it. And just coming over here tonight, you know, I get a phone call from them. And my little granddaughters, you know, they're calling to say, oh, Grandma, we forgot your birthday. And, you know, it just reminds me that, you know, even though I made a choice 30 years ago and I thought for so long it was the wrong choice, God knew where I was supposed to be at that moment and why I was supposed to be there. And He gave me the ability to be a mother to these children that didn't have a mother when they needed one the most. And that, I just can't even put into words, you know, when these children call me mom and still invite me into their homes as their mother, even though I'm not a part of their father's life on a daily basis, it overwhelms me with love. And so, you know, I know that I was supposed to be there at that time to serve that purpose. And Marty, my stepdaughter, she even, you know, she told me a while back, we were talking, and she, you know, she says, you know, I don't know why God gave me the parents He did, but I know I chose you as my mother before I came here. And that was just overwhelming. I mean, that, you know, I just didn't have words to speak back. She's such a wonderful person, and for her to say that to me, it was just, you know, it was just great. And then when I get lost in my own fears sometimes, my limited thinking can make me doubt that even God can help me. But I just have to remember back to those little moments, you know, when those kids looked in my eyes and called me mom. And but yet, you know, being human, I still stumble. Often I stumble. And that's when I most need to pray. And when I do, that demonstrates my willingness to be helped. And I just encourage everybody to do the same thing. You know, when you think, you know, you're going to stumble and fall, just reach out and ask for help. And for some reason, he's just always there, you know. And miracles happen when I turn my will and my life over to God. And sometimes I don't know how they happen. They just do. And the same thing, everybody's in the same boat. We're, you know, and since coming to this church, if I've learned anything, I've learned that, you know, we all are one. And Millie keeps reemphasizing that in our classes and every time I talk to her. And I think it was in her little angel book I read, you know, that just kind of simulate, you know, this is, you know, your hand is God and, you know, the fingers are all us and you can't have a complete hand without all five fingers. And, you know, you lose one and you want to get it back. You need the whole hand to work together. And I don't know, I'm so grateful to be a part of all this. And I know change is inevitable. And by letting go of our efforts to influence the future, we become freer to experience the present. And that's really what I'm trying to do now with my life. I'm trying to experience now. I don't want to go back and feel regret. I want to experience what's now and make plans for the future, but don't, you know, dwell on it and count on it. And I have a quote from Alan Watts, and he says, "The harder we try to catch hold of the moment, to seize a pleasant sensation, the more elusive it becomes. And it is like trying to clutch water in one's hands. The harder one grips, the faster it slips through one's fingers." And I just, you know, that's so true. You know, we try so hard to grasp onto everything. And we have an important part to play in our relationship with God. And once again, if we ask for help, we have to be open and willing to receive His help. Sometimes still, you know, we ask for God's help and we think we know what's going to be best for Him. And we have to open up and just be willing to receive what He's going to give us, even though we might not think it's in our best interest. And, I could go on and on about personal stories. And I do want to share one God story with you tonight. I shared this in a Thursday night class last year, and I normally go to Tuesday night class, but some of you might have already heard this, but it just reminds me, you know, how God's been so present in my everyday life. And even when we're young and God's there with us, and, you know, when you're going through your 20s, you think you know everything. And I well, to begin is, when I was about 22 years old, I grew up in Utah. And so I lived in the mountains in the snow, and I used to live in a small cabin by myself, way up in the mountains. And I absolutely loved it because, I mean, I could look out my bedroom window in the morning, and I could see deer drinking out of the stream, and there was rabbits and squirrels everywhere, and it was so magical and so beautiful. But we used to get about, you know, 4 or 5 feet of snow around the cabin. And so my commute down the mountain was about an hour. And this one morning I had to be in Salt Lake City, so I had to leave at least an hour early. So I had to leave about 6 o'clock in the morning. And 6 o'clock in the morning when you're up in the mountains, it's black. I mean, and they don't have, back then they didn't have street lights, and it was a two-lane highway. And so I thought, well, I've got to get up early. So I got up, and I was running late, and so I hurried and got ready, and back then wigs were very, very fashionable. And so I threw on a wig, and I go outside, and I buckle in my seatbelt, and I also put on my shoulder harness that morning. I never wore my shoulder harness, and some of you may not even know, but shoulder harnesses and seatbelts used to didn't connect. You had to, you know, physically connect them separately. And something I just put it on automatically, and I head down the mountain, and I wasn't going fast because I knew the roads were slippery, but I came around this bend, and I hit a patch of black ice, and all of a sudden my car started going out of control. And if any of you have ever driven on black ice or any kind of ice, you know you have absolutely no control. My car started spinning, and I look up, and on one side of me is this like huge snowbank of snow from being snow plowed. And so I thought, okay, I'm either going to hit that, or on the other side of me was the Provo River, and it was flowing rapidly, and it's about 20 feet deep in the area that I was at. And something just overcame me, and all of a sudden my car's spinning in the middle of this road, and it's pitch black, and I just let go of the steering wheel, and I took my foot off the pedal, off the gas. And I just said, you know, God, let your will be done. I don't know what made me say those words, and I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, my car was rolling. And it came to stop upside down in the middle of the road. And so there I am, stuck to the roof of my car because the seatbelts just suck you up in. And I look up ahead, and this car's coming down the road, and all I could think of is, God, I hope they see me, you know. And it was these workers that were heading up the other side of the canyon, and they saw the whole accident happen, and so they stopped to help me get out, and they couldn't get my doors open. They were all jammed. And so I'm trying to push up and get out of the seatbelt, and we look up, and here comes a big Safeway semi. Well, it's a, you know, two-way highway, and so here my car is like this, and they said there's not room for that semi to get by. We have to get her out of here. So they're working frantically, you know, to get the doors open, and it was just in a split second, everything just kind of happened. It just, the door came open, this guy hit my seatbelt, I came falling down, they grabbed me out, and the semi just went right on by. My car just kind of swooshed, and it just, you know, we just all stood there just kind of mesmerized, like, how did that truck get by this car without pushing it into the river? So, you know, we saw a lucky break, and so the police, of course, were called, and they came and took me to my mother's house down the valley. And I got to her place, and I went in, you know, the policeman says, you should go get checked out. You know, you've been in a rollover, you probably got some damages, you're probably hurt. And I just, you know, it was just odd. I'm just like, I'm okay. And my mother's, you know, freaking out. And so I went in the bathroom, and I took my wig off, and it was full of glass. I mean, my windshield had shattered, and I hadn't even noticed, and it was literally full of glass. So without the wig on, my head would have been just totally, you know, cut up. And I looked myself over. I didn't have one scratch, not one bruise. And I did, but, you know, all the time this was happening, there wasn't an ounce of fear in my body. And at the time, I really didn't give it a lot of credence. And as I got older, I got looking back on that, and I'm like, you know, how could that have happened, you know? And it was because I turned it over to God. And, I mean, I physically spoke the words, and I gave it to God to take care of because I knew it was out of my hands. And if we could just do more of that, you know, just believe that He's here for us, and He's here to help us in any given situation. our life so much easier, and we'd come through unscathed and without bumps and bruises, and we don't need any of that, you know. Circumstances will be different. Mine's always different. You know, yours will be different every day. And my worst fears about tomorrow, they don't need to affect this one day. And by letting go, I know I'm free to grow, you know, and become a better person and a bigger person for God, and to help everyone in the world. And by sharing words like that, you know, letting people know how important He is in my life, I feel like I'm spreading that so that, you know, they can see how wonderful my life can be with Him in it, and they'll want a piece of that and have that in their life. And I'm committed right now to try to make the world a better place. I'm really upset about a lot of the things that are happening throughout the world, and I'm ready to take a stand in, you know, some of these arenas. But I think the best way to do it is just by stepping forward and sharing love. You know, when you share love with somebody, a lot of times they'll step back and they'll think, you know, something's wrong with you, but you keep giving it and keep giving it, and pretty soon they won't reject it anymore. And I've had to deal with that with one of my stepsons, and he just keeps closing the door, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pounding on that door till he responds, because he's a wonderful, loving person, and he's got so many fears in his life right now. He's challenged by a lot of things, and he just has to know that, you know, he has people here that love him. And if we all just continue to share that love and keep giving it, the world's just going to be a stronger, stronger place to live. And I found a quote from the Bible that says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself." And I only need to trust that when the time comes to move forward, I'll know it. And when I begin to accept myself exactly as I am, life will be more gentle with me. And I hope everyone remembers that, because our lives don't have to be a hard lesson. They can be a really easy, soft lesson. And so that's about all I have to say. I just want to thank everybody for being here. And I've shared with so many of you that, you know, I've searched for years and years and years to find the right place for me. And when Spencer brought me here the first Wednesday night, I thought, this is really a different place to come. But I felt so good about it. And so then I went to church over on Kensington. And the moment I opened that door and walked through the front doors, I knew I was home, and I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And I just feel like every one of you are part of my family. And when I wake up in the day, and if I'm having a hard time, I know I can always pick up the phone at any given time and call any one of you, and you're there to support me, and I hope everybody feels the same way, because this is a special gift that we found each other here. And if we can just continue to spread what Millie shares and teaches us every day, this room will be full all the time, and our church will fill up, and the world will just be a better place to live in. And I just thank you for being here. So that's all I have to say.